today's connected world, high-speed internet is a necessity. Luckily, where you live no longer means missing out on a fast connection. Do what we did and get HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. HughesNet Gen 5 delivers the speed you need where you live. Own a business? HughesNet has plans for you too. Text RADIO to 35,000 for offers in your area. That's RADIO to 35,000. HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available where you live and work.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
It's the weekend of April 20th, 2018. Thank you for tuning in to Tomorrow. I am Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
On the other side of that big giant window in the control room, Horatio and Erasmo, and glad to have you with us, as always, but especially when you call in and participate on the program. We want to hear from you. Let us solve your digital dilemmas. We'll work on the answers. We'll dig for you. Don't worry about trying to search for stuff. Let us solve the problems for you. And, of course, hear you on the air, and then you win prizes. Stay tuned. We've got a bunch of very cool things to share with you this week as well. And all we ask is that we hear you on the show. You can use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app, or you can call this number. Here, I've got a pen. Make a note of it.
800-899-INTO. 800-899-4686.
Meantime, tech news and commentary on this segment.
Battle Royale shooter PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is quite popular in China, with the country making up nearly half of the game's tens of millions of users.
Wow.
But with that popularity comes a significant amount of in-game cheating, with around 99% of all unauthorized modifications originating from Chinese players.
No, they wouldn't cheat.
Yeah.
No.
Cheating is so prevalent, in fact, that Dell even went so far as to advertise a new laptop for the Chinese market as being superior for running PUBG, which is a game plugins, with plug-in being a euphemism for a cheat or hack.
A plug-in.
Yeah.
No, I'm not cheating. I'm just using plugins.
Yes. A Dell spokesperson at an Intel 8th Gen event in Beijing said new Dell machines would allow players to, quote, run more plugins and win more.
Yeah. Buy our machine, win more.
Yeah. Now, we don't really know how a laptop could be made better than other machines at running a downloadable plugin that let you cheat at a video game, but the Dell spokesperson nonetheless saw the claim as a good marketing tool. Dell seems now to be downplaying the statement, saying, we condemn any modifications misused in gaming.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, by the way, we have this cool machine that, that we don't condemn and we strongly recommend you use.
Yeah.
Because of its additional plugins, cheat codes.
But you know, but I found that interesting, though, that more, you know, about half the users are in China, but of those half, 99% of the total amount of cheating comes from China.
Wow. Very interesting. Holy cow.
GIF platform Tenor has announced that it will be powering GIF searches within LinkedIn messaging, which makes you wonder why.
Yeah. Okay, why?
The news comes just a couple weeks after Google announced that it acquired Tenor to help the company bring GIFs inside Google Images and other services like Gboard more easily.
No, you're talking about GIFs, not presents.
Right.
Like, I'm going to give you a gift for your birthday.
As in those animated GIFs.
All right.
Now, as part of the new integration, members will be able to search for GIFs within LinkedIn messaging, as well as access trending GIFs, and in the near future have a custom stream that shows what's being used most often within LinkedIn.
Why would you care?
Right. Well, that's
this is being used most often, so let's jump on that train.
Well, and that's my thing, is if you're familiar with these animated GIFs, most of them are these, like, really wacky, cheesy things. And
eye rolling.
Right.
And
I checked, LinkedIn is still supposed to be like a professional platform. And if you're sending professional messages, you don't want to be putting in all these animated, unprofessional GIFs.
What has LinkedIn done for you ever?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, at least now you have animated GIFs you can put on LinkedIn. Well,
maybe they're trying to make them keep themselves relevant, I guess.
Maybe they're trying to be a competitor to Facebook.
Oh, maybe.
There's that. Not going to happen. So that's that, huh? Uh-huh. All right, Apple's redesigned Mac Pro aimed at professionals is set to launch in 2019. The team responsible for revamping their professional Macintosh desktop efforts says that they've put together a pro workflow team. We talked a little bit about this on the show last week. To understand, they say, the real workflows that creative professionals use and to better tailor its products to them. Isn't that research and development? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're calling it a pro workflow team. All right, trying to reinvent the wheel, I guess. The individuals work on real projects, they say. Ooh. And then use Apple's hardware and software to find pain points that could cause frustration and friction to pro users. Apple's pro workflow team finds and addresses the issues that come up, even tweaking graphics drivers to make dialogues pop up faster. And it's not just Apple products, they claim, that benefit. The company's employees are also working with third-party apps from Adobe, Sony, Microsoft, and others. No details were provided on the shape of the Mac Pro or its internal components yet, but the company is still planning on a modular machine with an emphasis on upgradability. So maybe you can do those graphics card swaps and whatnot. A Pro display was in development alongside the new machine. Meanwhile, Apple's latest product geared towards professionals, the iMac Pro, has been garnering some positive reviews among creatives, developers, and knowledge workers in the scientific community as a computational beast, is what they're calling it. So I hope that helps their workflow.
Artificial intelligence is being used for a dizzying array of tasks, but one of the most successful is also one of the scariest, automated surveillance. Case in point is Chinese startup SenseTime, which makes AI-powered surveillance software for the country's police, and which this week received a new round of funding worth $600 million. The funding is led by retailing giant Alibaba, which is basically China's version of Amazon.
Yep.
This reportedly gives SenseTime a total valuation of more than $4.5 billion,
wow,
making it the most valuable AI startup in the world. The investment shows that image analysis is one of the most lucrative commercial applications for AI. SenseTime became profitable in 2017 and claims that it has more than 400 clients and partners. Most notably, SenseTime also outfits Chinese law enforcement with facial recognition and tracking services. Their software is used in one of China's biggest cities to match surveillance footage from crime scenes to photos from a criminal database. They say they have identified more than 2,000 suspects and solved nearly 100 cases.
Interesting. As a crime-fighting tool, that might be very helpful for a lot of folks around the world.
You know, but given, ooh, you know, given the state of things here, you know that this is probably never going to come to the U.S. because privacy advocates are never going to allow it.
Yeah, but we don't have privacy anymore. People just give up. You don't have privacy.
That's true. But the software, basically, you know, like, you know, you're at a shopping mall where the surveillance cameras that you could, the software will detect faces and be able to recognize people and match them to other pictures, and so it'll know who you are just by walking past a camera.
And not so much for crime, but you mentioned a shopping mall. Imagine what'll end up happening with this kind of stuff, too. And it's going to happen. You know it. Is marketing and selling. And they're going to recognize, oh, Chris just walked in and he likes this. So let that store know he's in the mall so they can come find him and sell him something.
They can match it up with your Google search history on your phone or something and then send pop-up messages on your phone. Hey, you were searching for this the other day. This store has something similar on sale.
Yeah. And you're close now. Yeah. Or you're here. Or, oh, boy. Now, that's intrusive. But again, hey. No such thing as privacy.
Uh-huh.
What can I say? You're talking about money-making, though. Are you a fan of the Grand Theft Auto game?
I am.
You are?
I am.
Oh, okay. I'm not a gamer at all, but certainly am familiar with it. A new report shows that Grand Theft Auto 5 is now more profitable than any film or book ever.
Wow.
Yeah. The revenue for this one game title is estimated to now be over $6 billion. Nice.
Well, I have a PlayStation 4 at home with a stack of games for my 6-year-old son, and I have Grand Theft Auto 5. It's the only game I have.
He doesn't play that.
He does not.
Okay.
And it's the only game I play outside of, you know, things like, you know, Words with Friends on my phone.
Okay. So you're part of that over $6 billion profit for them.
Yeah.
Nice. Man. And games are still selling for like 40 or 50 bucks, right, for these consoles and whatnot?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Easily.
You know, and when this game says it's rated M for mature, it literally is. You know,
oh, yeah.
I wouldn't even let my son be within earshot of this game while I'm playing it.
I've seen the game, and wow. As a former police officer, too, it makes me take a step back. Holy cow, what they do there. Now, of course, we just sold a whole bunch more games.
Yeah.
So next time we report, it'll be $7 billion, but more profitable than any film or book ever. That's scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
So they're up to number 5 now. What are they going to do with 6 and 7? And not certainly not going to slow pun intended, that down.
You know, one of my favorite versions of it, though, was still Vice City, because it was basically unofficially based here in Miami.
Yeah, of course, from Miami Vice and that sort of thing. And they even had Miami-Dade police cars and so forth. It brought back fond memories.
Yes.
Some scary, but yeah, fond memories.
Yeah, back of your cocaine cowboy days.
I was not me as a cocaine cowboy, but
on the other side of it.
But investigating, yes, and arresting them, right?
You were actually in the movie, were you not?
I was the documentary that's been on HBO, Showtime, Discovery Channel, a whole bunch of stuff. Five times I appear in that documentary as police spokesman.
You've been getting your residual checks?
Not a nickel, not a cent, because it's a documentary, you know. So it's newsy.
You were a public figure, quote unquote.
I was a public figure. I am a public figure. What do you mean? Why air quotes? And I'm going to turn your mic off. See? Now we shut him up, and that's how that works. But yes, cocaine cowboy days. And yeah, it reminds me. Not so fond memories, but memories nonetheless.
According to a new survey by National Courier Drop-Off, those who don't deliver when it comes to deliveries are leaving money on the table and risk losing big spending customers. In a February poll of 995 U.S. shoppers, Drop-Off found that speed matters, with 47% reporting that they've paid extra for faster deliveries within the last 12 months.
Ooh.
The figure rises to 54% for millennials, while early tech adopters and luxury shoppers are more than twice as likely to have paid extra for same-day delivery during the trailing 12 months. Speed, in fact, even trumps brand loyalty. In the case of logistics champion Amazon, 65% of their shoppers said they would order from another merchant if the same delivery options were offered.
Now, that's interesting, because Amazon, of course, the leader in fast and sometimes free delivery. If you're a Prime member, a lot of times it's free delivery. It's the next day. If it's grocery-type stuff or other things where they've got a warehouse in your area, it can be within the hour or two. I mean, how do you not get spoiled by that? And no one else seems, well, very few, seem to be able to do that kind of thing, of course. But if others would be willing to do that or expand their quick deliveries or free deliveries, they have some competition, and Amazon's got to really keep up.
Yeah, and that's apparently why, you know, apparently 65% of these people, that's the reason they still shop at Amazon, is because of the fast delivery options.
Wow. Well, see, that's making Bezos and company all the real money in the long run. Very interesting. Caroline, or Carolyn, perhaps, in Porterville, California, listens on KTIP, 1450 AM. Hello there.
I had a power outage, and my computer crashed. If I just buy new cords, will my computer be back to good again?
Oh, if it were only that easy. If something burned out due to a power surge, it almost certainly wasn't a cord. Your power cord can handle a lot more power than your computer's internal components. If your computer doesn't react when you try to turn it on, it's likely that its power source is fried. The cost of replacing it will depend on how much power your computer needs, but there's a chance that other things will unfortunately have been damaged as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, you almost certainly won't be able to bring your computer back just by replacing cords. You will probably have to take it somewhere and get it looked at by someone who can tell you what the problem is and how much it may cost to fix it. Now, for everyone else out there, this is a good reason to consider getting surge protectors for your electronics. They'll be a lot cheaper than the cost of fixing one of these problems.
Yeah, for sure. The good news is that it's fairly simple to see if the cord is the problem. Since all power cords are basically the same for computers, there are 2-prong and 3-prong variants, but the power cords on most electronic gear are otherwise interchangeable. Borrow a power cord you know to be good from another device. Plug it into your computer using that cord. If the computer starts up, well, there you go. You need a new cord. More than likely, it won't, though, and be prepared for that, because, as we said, the power cord can withstand an incredible amount of abuse, far more than your power supply or the components inside your device.
Yeah, I mean, sorry to say it, but if your computer doesn't power on at all following a power outage, it's likely time for a trip to the repair shop.
Yeah, we're sorry we had not so good news for you, Carolyn, but that happens, and I hope we've at least shed some light check it out. We always try to recommend do the obvious first, and of course the cheapest first, because that's going to be your best bet. But in this case, doesn't sound like it's going to be a cord thing.
Yeah, you know, and if you have someone in your family or a friend who's tech savvy, you may be able to find a replacement, you know, online. You know, if it's one of these towers.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you know, it depends on, you know, how much power it needs, but find the same one. For a lot of these home computers, you know, it can be as little as like $20 to get a new power supply, but they could also be over $100 depending on what you need. But you can always replace it if you have someone that's tech savvy enough to be able to get inside there and do it.
Yeah. Just use caution and hopefully don't have a lot of spare parts when you're finished.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to deal with it. Meantime, meet us at intotomorrow.com.